Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's April the 12th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss the cash grain market today with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, the USDA says it plans to resume inspecting all meat processing plants at least once a shift. The state of Illinois is crowing just a little bit about carbon credit trading systems that it has pushed. And scientists at the University of Nebraska say more research is needed to be done on how to feed DDGs to livestock. Apparently they haven't talked to the folks here at the University of Illinois who've been working on that for quite some time. I'm sorry, it's just my job to know who's doing what here on campus. Hey, well, don't forget that we'll have details of all those stories in just a bit, and that a little bit later in the program you can hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. Amy Rochkis will be on hand for the day, and that just after the bottom of the hour, Peter Levitt will join us to help us take a look at the full agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Would you like to TiVo our agricultural broadcasts? You can do so with AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts. Listen to all our shows at your convenience. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the red podcast link in the right navigation window. Follow the simple instructions and subscribe to the shows of your choice, the pre-opening, opening, and closing market reports, and Commodity Week. AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts. It's your marketing advantage.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. In the nearby May, wheat at $4.58, up a penny and three quarters. July at $4.74, up three and a quarter for the day. September futures at $4.85, up three and a quarter. May corn futures, $3.58 and three quarters, were down two. July off a penny and a quarter at $3.71 and a half. And December futures at $3.87 and a quarter, they finished one half lower for the day. May futures in the bean pit at $7.38 and a quarter were down eight and a quarter. July down 7.5 cents at $7.56 and a half, and November's at 7.25 lower at $7.84. May bean meal futures at $200.90 were off $4.20. May bean oil futures down 13 cents at $32.65. April feeder cattle at $107.85, down $2.25 for the day. April lean cattle or live cattle at $97.35 at $2.57 and a half lower for the day. And June futures at $92.47 and a half were down $2.15. April lean hogs were 40 cents higher at $65.20 on 100 weight. From the outside markets, crude oil futures at $63.85, up $1.84. June in the May contract, the June at $66.35, up $1.51 a barrel. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now just about 60 points higher. It's trading at $12,544 for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now on this Thursday afternoon to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
I was just looking over my numbers here very quickly because I've got two sets of numbers for the December corn 07, but I see why that's the case. I see it at 387 and a quarter. It was down a half, but everything, it was showing in the 246 that you normally see on DTN, and everything else is in a half and a quarter and three quarters, and I read it right the first time. I just wanted to go back and check it. Let's take a look at what's been happening at the Chicago Board of Trade, in fact, and how trade has ensued over the past week and where you think things might be headed after we had this pretty cold spell.
Well, it's a wheat market. I think wheat has to become the leader, and it's got to take off and and begin to give some spillover upside leadership to corn and soybeans. And that's kind of hard right in here, because what's bullish wheat is somewhat maybe negative soybeans and corn, depending upon where you're at, because, you know, we'll hear people tearing up wheat acres. If they've got nitrogen on them, the odds are pretty good they may be planted to corn. If they don't have nitrogen on them and some of the other chemicals on them, they may be planted to beans, and it probably depends upon which area of the region you're at. Nobody really knows what to do yet until they kind of fully assess what kind of yield damage there is. I've heard some people say, well, they'll just probably, you know, go ahead and harvest it and collect on insurance or whatnot. And I think the market is sorting all that through, and it really doesn't know what to do with corn and soybeans at this time. But wheat did manage to come back and close higher for the day after the sharply lower bean and corn trade here in the middle of the session kind of pulled wheat to the red. To red ink, and but at the end of the day, we closed up higher. Wheat has, you know, erased everything that it has that it lost after that March 30th report. So it's kind of back to pre-March report levels. Whereas corn came close. We came back to the pre-report levels a little bit there late last week, but with a higher Monday, and then of course we've lost everything that we kind of gained on Monday, and now we're actually lower for the week, and that's basically being driven by weather forecasts indicating that things might begin to open up next week and we could begin to see some corn planting take hold. Soybeans now are kind of rolling over. They did break some trend lines now this past 3-4 days here. So the underlying technical structure, soybeans look like they're starting to roll down and move to the downside, which would not be a good sign. But with all that said, I've got some cyclical work, some time counts and whatnot that does suggest that this market might want to hold in here and try to pull out of some kind of middle April low and give us some kind of recovery rally here in late April, early May. So I'm not terribly bearish, but it's hard to find some real positive things, at least when you look at the technical side of the market.
You know, oftentimes I've heard you say that it depends on the weather as we go through the planting season, and that farmers will plant corn as fast as they can, or they'll switch crops, I suppose, if they can't get it in. They're saying they're going to put 90.6 million acres or 90.5 million acres in the ground. Do you think they'll try to hold to that given the price of corn at this point?
Well, I think 90 some acres are probably rich, and I think at the end of the day we're not going to have that many acres planted, and especially with the current weather pattern the way it is, unless something switches real soon, real quick. I think we'll run out of time before we get those 90 million acres planted. So, I have to say that I was surprised that USDA went that high. I thought USDA was a little bit more conservative, and I guess I must have been in the camp with everybody else, because that's the way the market reacted with two limit down moves. So I guess we were all kind of in the same camp that they would be a little more conservative. We'll just have to kind of see on that. I like I said, I think they're high. I think the market is working in the biggest of the best number. I mean, you had the 90 million acre come out, and I see Informa Economics came out with like 156 bushel yield on a trend, a little bit above trend line. So I mean, those are some of the highest numbers you're going to see. And I kind of look at the start of the season as telling me that this season may be full of all kinds of little twists and turns. It's not starting out very well, And I think what you see here is probably going to continue. So there's going to be a lot of twists and turns as we go down the road. So that, 90 million may not get planted. And I, 156 seems a little rich too to me, unless things turn around real quickly. So I think eventually the market's going to realize that. But, markets don't really respect planning delays one way or the other during the month of April. The market will wait until about first part of May or about May 10th and look around and say, gee, we only got 70% of the corn planted, so we must going to lose some, and then it responds. So the markets a lot of times don't respond to planting delays or spring weather adversities until about May 15th, and then all of a sudden it grabs all at once, Todd.
When you look out a little further, and I want to talk a bit about new crop cash prices for corn, it appears that the industry itself is convinced there's a pretty good-sized crop out there and that they've got awfully wide basis levels for the harvest season.
Well, you're talking to the wrong man when you get into the basis levels. I'm not really up in the cash market and really know what's going on all in the transportation and storage facilities.
Well, how about your cash chart for today?
Well, the cash chart today is a reflection of the futures market, and it does show that we've got adequate supplies of corn, or demand has slowed. The market accomplished what it needed to do during the months of October through February here, and that was to slow demand a little bit and increased plantings, and the market accomplished that, and now we're kind of in the hangover stages of that. But I think all those wide basis levels basically tells us that you'll probably see some storage bins being built again this summer. I think that slowed down for a little bit, but I think that's going to probably continue, that will give farmers a better opportunity to kind of manage their inventory, because those distant basis levels seem to be awful sloppy. But the problem the industry has is they probably don't know, there's nobody out there that can offset that hedge or that risk out there. They don't know when a hurricane's going to come along, rail cars and barges and that are harder to come by and whatnot. So it's going to make it difficult for farmers to market those wide basis levels. And I know people use hedge to arrive contracts. Some of them have worked. Some of them, the basis levels have gotten worse on them. So that's kind of a double-edged sword, too.
Well, we appreciate you being with us, and I'm going to borrow a phrase from you because I liked it. We're in the hangover stage.
That is kind of,
well, I hope the party's not over. I suppose there are a lot of farmers out there that are hoping that, too, but
we'll
find out.
Well, a couple aspirins, and you're ready to go again,
All righty. Thanks,
okay.
Mike. Yep, bye-bye. And that is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services of Bloomington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Thursday afternoons.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt. Our own Ed Kieser says tonight across the two-state region in northern and east-central Indiana, skies will be cloudy. There'll be some snow showers, a few flurries. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy. Lows this evening from 25 in far northwestern Illinois to 35 in the south. Tomorrow in the north and central sections, partly sunny. In the south, cloudy with rain arriving. Highs ranging from 46 in the north and southwestern Illinois to 56 in the far southern parts of central Indiana. One other note, I got a quick JPEG, a picture in the email this morning from Mike Rogge over in western Illinois. Extension specialist showed corn in Texas, 5 inches high, covered in snow. Dave Dickey's here with the news.
In agricultural news, the U.S. International Trade Commission is conducting a study to determine Cuba's annual import of agricultural products and the impact of the ongoing U.S. embargo on such purchases. The study will be completed by the end of June. The Senate Finance Committee requested the study. Even with an embargo in place, the U.S. exported $337 million worth of agricultural and forestry products to Cuba last year. USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service says it will resume a practice of inspecting all meat processing facilities at least once during each shift that the establishment is in operation. In a press release, FSIS acknowledged that its practice of limited inspections, a regime begun back in the 1970s, did not meet the agency's statutory obligations. Illinois is one of the first states in the nation to award producers and landowners for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Yesterday, the Illinois EPA revealed that since the program began in January of 2006, nearly 200 producers received carbon credits for conservation tillage, planting trees, or controlling animal waste. The credits can be sold through a trading program called the Chicago Climate Exchange. Ron Meissen is one of the exchange's founding members.
Since 2003, the Chicago Climate Exchange has grown from the original 14 members to over 300 members. This includes the states of Illinois, New Mexico, a number of cities, universities like the University of Iowa and University of Minnesota. During the past 4 years, the exchange has traded over 21 million tons of carbon.
And Illinois EPA Director Doug Scott adds the program plays a critical role in the environment.
The win-win thing gets overused a lot, I know, but this is really one that's true because we're doing something to address global warming. Farmers and other landowners get to make a few dollars off of it. We have some other environmental benefits, and we've spread some great awareness about what people can do to combat global warming.
To date, carbon credit sales have totaled nearly $120,000. The top five Illinois counties enrolled in the program include Edgar, Jersey, Jefferson, Iroquois, and Winnebago. Scientists at the University of Nebraska say more research is needed on feeding livestock distiller's grain. In theory, scientists say combining wheat or other grains with distiller's grain for cattle could be a symbiotic relationship. Increasingly, beef producers are feeding the wet version of distiller's grain because of transportation problems and cost of other grains. ConocoPhillips Wednesday became the first major oil company to join a corporate environmental coalition urging Congress to regulate greenhouse gases. The coalition is urging the Bush administration to sanction mandatory emissions caps to reduce the flow of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. And Swift and Company officials say last December's immigration raids on six company plants cost the firm $30 million. Swift estimates the one-time cost included $20 million for lost efficiencies while new employees are retrained and up to $10 million to retain workers and make new hires. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at WILLAG.org, and that tomorrow I'll be at the Chicago Board of Trade, actually the Mann Financial floor next to the Chicago Board of Trade on the 20th floor. We'll talk with Rich Feltus and a few others during the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Those will all come to you from Chicago, and that means CBOT's Commodity Week will be delivered just a bit late on the website. I'll have to drive back through the traffic and then post-produce that tomorrow evening. It'll be up a bit late, but you can still get to it probably prior to the time it airs at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday morning. Commodity Week, of course, our guest will be Rich Feltus from Mann Financial Services.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, now joins us this afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, has the cash grain market got a hangover? That's, I think, what we said. I don't know whether I want to go down that route or not, but let's talk about where you see this marketplace in your area at this time.
Well, we've actually seen, especially along the river, we've really seen the bids get quite a bit better versus a nearby month on the corn here in the recent week or so. But when you really sit down and look at it, I was kind of analyzing some of that this morning. You know, like, for example, a 10 under the May bid a week ago was about 38 under the D's. Today, that's about 30 under the D's. So you've got, or I'm sorry, I've got that backwards. Last week, it was about 30 under the D's. Today, it's about 38. So the spreads have widened out. That's what's happened here. So some of the basis levels have come in, but, you know, when you look at them versus that new crop out there, it doesn't look that good. And that's, I think, one of the things you were talking about with on the previous segment there as far as the new crop basis levels. We've put some carry back in this market, so realistically an elevator or a farmer, have, assuming they had room and space, could carry corn forward into the new crop and actually make that work, which just means there's possibility of more bushels out there next fall.
And why would this happen, though? I mean, it seems surely they don't want you to carry it that far forward. Maybe they do, if that's what they're up to, but it just doesn't
now,
seem
now
to make
a
lot of sense.
Now you're asking hard question, Todd.
Yeah.
Why it happened. I think it's a psychology thing. I mean, I think it's an attitude thing. We have increased our old crop stocks. I mean, you know, on the March report, there was the indication that we had more stocks than we thought, and the feed usage was down.
Correct.
So that's part of it. But I think the whole attitude here of do we have enough stocks to get us through has changed, and the answer in the trade's eyes now is yes. You know, why has that changed? I think it boils down sometimes to you don't see the actual user of the corn, the commercial user, the big feedlots and ethanol producers. They're not in a panic mode at all. I mean, they've evidently got themselves covered or are willing to wait and not going out here and rushing to buy corn right now.
Yeah, but it all could come down as a wall of corn around harvest time or not shortly thereafter, I would think.
Yeah, when you look at if you look at the numbers out there, with the lower amount of ending stocks
at 877,
we don't have that tremendous amount of difference from a total number of bushels on hand in October as what we did last year. But, you know, regionally different areas. You know, if you're in Arkansas and you got three times the corn acres, you know, there's probably some concern there as far as where you're going to put all those bushels.
And you're hoping that you can move it down the river quickly then.
Yeah, but I think that kind of backs up into, you know, like our area here where you've got, you know, you have some excess bushels there at early harvest next year, assuming that those acres got planted and they make it. So I think that all kind of backs into the psychology that we don't need to rush out here and push to buy this corn is what it boils down to.
What are your bids for the day?
$3.34 for cash corn, $7 for beans.
We appreciate it.
Thanks.
And that is Bill Mayer, Rochag Marketing, out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Thursday afternoons. In just about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt about the weather forecast across the globe and around the nation for agriculture. Up now, your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. An environmental group says a combination of renewable energy and more efficient homes and transportation are the keys to reducing the threat of global warming. The group Environment Illinois says a 22% increase in carbon dioxide emissions in Illinois since 1990 is a sign that the nation's going the wrong way in cutting greenhouse gases. The group is endorsing federal legislation to reduce emissions by 15% by the year 2020. A spokesman for the Army says a new plan to get rid of the byproduct of VX nerve agent neutralization is the best method possible for cost and safety. The Army is already getting criticism from environmental groups about a plan to ship the byproduct called hydrolysate to a plant in Texas where it would be incinerated. Opposition from groups in New Jersey scuttled earlier plans to ship the VX byproduct there to have it chemically treated at a DuPont plant. The neutralization of the deadly nerve agent is still going on, with the Army storing the byproduct at the Newport Chemical Depot in western Indiana. The head of Philadelphia's school district is planning to leave his job, and he says he'll probably return to Chicago. Paul Vallis used to lead the Chicago school district. He ran for Illinois governor in 2002, finishing second to now Governor Rod Blagojevich in the Democratic primary. Residents in Chicago will be among the first in the nation to have access to a new high-speed wireless network. The regional network is part of an emerging technology called WiMAX that will allow people to have constant access to the Internet from a laptop as they travel the area. The state of Illinois took Iroquois County rabbit farmer Paul Kraft's animals away back in February, but he now has many of them back. Illinois Ag Commissioner Chuck Harkey says the department impounded 117 rabbits but failed to prove that Kraft refused to correct unhealthy conditions in which they allegedly lived. Harkey let Kraft take 50 of the animals back to his farm near Watseka. He can get the rest once he shows he can take good care of them. Humane Society investigators had convinced the state to take the rabbits back in February after finding that many were kept in feces-filled cages. An investigator with the South Suburban Humane Society isn't happy with the outcome and says the group is trying to decide what to do next. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to WILL in Urbana. This is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. On this Thursday afternoon, Peter Levitt joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast around the nation and across the globe. Good afternoon to you, Peter.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's go to the Delta area to begin with and talk about the corn crop that is coming on there. I saw a photo out of Texas. I know that's not quite the Delta, but close enough. That showed five-inch tall corn. She was covered in snow. Is that something that happened very many places? And what about just those really cold temps?
It does happen from time to time, especially in the western plains. They can get that. Snow cover actually probably affords more protection than damage with all other things being considered, the accompanying cold temperatures. Where you didn't have any snow cover and it got very cold this past week was across the Delta region and then straight on eastward through Tennessee, Kentucky, northern portions of Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and through the Carolinas. Many stations, as a matter of fact, all the stations in the Carolinas, save maybe a couple of stations, had their coldest April day on record. That's any April, any year. That's a pretty spectacular cold shot, and where some early planted and early emerged crops under milder conditions, which preceded the cold, got growing to where the growing point was exposed. I think some of that got burned back pretty severely. The good news is, if there is good news, that it isn't the major portion of the Corn Belt. The Midwest, of course, is where that is. And here we're just going to have to wait for warmer weather.
Yeah, and not so patiently, I think, on the part of farmers. It's April, what, the 12th? They're probably getting pretty anxious to get in the field, but it's wet and cold, and they're not going to move anytime soon.
No time soon. We don't see it warming up, really, appreciably. This next week is going to be quite cold to start with, the next 4 or 5 days well below normal, then some milder weather toward the end of next week. Drier weather in the western Corn Belt will help a little bit, but they're pretty waterlogged. And also the soil temperatures are way down there for this time of year. They're actually from northwest Iowa to northern Illinois. They're in the upper 30s in northwest Iowa, mid to upper 40s in Illinois. Way too cold to expect to get anything in the ground getting germinated and emerged.
Any place else we need to talk about here in the nation, or should we hop to some other places around the globe?
No, well, one more, just a quickie. They've got another storm system coming out of the southwest, which will put a lot of precipitation in Kansas and Oklahoma. That's probably of mixed value. They've got enough moisture there. It will move across the Midwest far enough south that we think the northern portions of the Midwest, Iowa, northern Illinois, those areas will only get a few light dabs of moisture, but it will be more moisture downstate and across Missouri, and I think that's going to be tough on them.
And then finally, if you check in on the Chinese corn crop and bean crop,
in China, of course, this is still the pre-monsoon season in North China, where most of that is planted, and they will have typically dry weather for most of the week up in there. The monsoon front is coming up from the south through up toward the Yangtze Valley. That area is getting suitably wet. These are not the major producing areas for corn or beans. That's further north. So right now, with fairly good soil moisture around, seasonable temperatures, we don't see a problem at this stage for China crops.
All right. We appreciate you being with us today.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt is an agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll bring you the Closing Market Report from Chicago. We'll be on the 20th floor near the Chicago Board of Trade. Actually, it's the building next door, with Mann Financial Services, going up to talk with Rich Feltus, who's an alumnus of the University of Illinois, and we'll have him on the air both for the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Vic Lespinos will join us for Commodity Week as well, and Tom Schuff will join us from the Chicago Board of Trade. He's a floor trader during the Closing Market Report, so tune in to that tomorrow as we come to you live from Chicago. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.